The title of this recording is The Bridegroom Comes. And reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 6, we read, At midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. Now, can you hear the midnight cry? Are you witnessing a new order of divine harmony and love where true righteousness abounds? The one who inherits all things is being clearly seen, and with his appearing, the tribes of the earth do mourn and become converted unto him. The tribes and nations of the earth have become the Christ, and he is seen working through a people in the midst of the earth today. Know for sure that there is only one thing in the heart of the indwelling Father with regards to man, and it will definitely be accomplished in its time. Every man, of course, after his own order. This one thing, though expressed through many forms and allegories, is none other than the coming or the unveiling of his sons, some of whom are momentarily asleep in their human sense of life. This is all that is to be heard and desired by all who have tasted life outside that one universal life that has been revealed from heaven. The divine will of the Father, like a seed buried deep within the earth, which is your human sense of life, will germinate, bud, and flourish at the divinely appointed time. However, before the blaze break forth from under the earth, those without the lenses of faith will, at times, wonder at the authenticity of such a report. However, suddenly, from the nothingness will spring forth that which has always been buried underneath, hidden from the prying eyes of men. In its season, at the scent of water, this seed within will break forth and flourish abundantly. To you who are awakening this day, can you perceive the scent of the water now? No man knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, except he is revealed to you from above. This remains the most concealed secret, completely hidden from men of this age. Their glory, however, is in the unsealing and the comprehension of this mystery of the Father and the Son. At the set time, the ancient divine scroll sealed in the minds of those deeply asleep in mortality is unsealed, and the great secret revealed. When this mystery is revealed, the Son awakens and the Father is clearly manifest, because his beginning is rooted in the Father and in compliance with the divine law of secularity. It will definitely return to the Father. An end of darkness is brought about and becomes glaringly clear that the Son is the very manifestation of the Father in this lowly plane. When the Son remembers his beginning, he begins to hunger for the beginning. That beginning is the end. The inner groaning of the Son will be, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before this world was. Isn't it sad that the first shall be the last and the last the first? The beginning is the end, and the end is the beginning. That last state, otherwise known as the end, should be desired above all things, because therein lies true rest and glory. Along with the awakening comes an unveiling of the infinite realm of God in heavens, the power, the glory, and the joy and peace unspeakable. Man discovers that all things are truly his, for his glory and pleasure. In that day, religious concept of man, about God, dissolves into nothingness, and one who is from eternity is clearly seen as all in all. The Spirit will confirm this day when he comes. In that day, you will know that I am in you and you are in me. This is the day of the Lord, when man realizes that he is divinely knitted in one with God. This realization is the end. Sleepyhead, awake from your slumber, and the abundant glories of the nations below will flow like a river unto you. In this new pure light consciousness, poverty and nakedness are abolished forever, because one clothed in the majestic regalia of the eternal King of Glory is manifest. Listen attentively to the cock crow. Stand still and witness the dawning of a new day, the day of the Lord. The loud cry at midnight, otherwise known as the last trumpet, or shout of the archangel, is a wake-up call into reality. Reality is that which was, which is, and which remains forever unhampered by time. It remains ever glorious and ever still. This loud midnight cry, which precedes the dawning of a new eternal day on the other side of the clock, will be heard by all men who sleep in the night in mortality. At its sounding, all other trumpets are silenced. There are innumerable voices from the dust below which bind men to mortality become obsolete, never to be heard any more. Hear the great last trumpet sounding and patiently allow it lead you into the day where shadows and parables cease, an eternal day inhabited by the Lord alone, where the parables are explained, the riddles resolved, and the shadows be no more. Then you will understand the words that say, I am the Lord, and besides me there is none else. Friends, rest in this knowledge. Flow like a river in this knowledge. It is yours to keep forever. Emulate the proverbial five wise virgins who, on hearing their loud cry at midnight, heralding the coming of the bridegroom, awoke from their transgressive human slumber and entered into their glory by marriage. The message transmitted from the mouth of the Lord cries out, saying, Awake, prepare yourself, and come graciously to be united with your spouse. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. This we read from Isaiah 52, from verse 1 to 2. On awakening, spontaneously, they discover their untainted, sparkling white garments, a symbol of their long-lost virginity while they slept on the bed of human ignorance. All along, they had been virgins clothed in light apparel, but they never saw it because they were in the dark, deeply asleep in a false sense of mortality. However, this false impression changes as the wise virgins with the extra oil awake and put on their lanterns. They suddenly discover their true virgin self, worthy to be espoused to the king. On discovering themselves, they shake the dust off themselves, a symbol of their celestial living, and sit in a posture that suggests rain and rest. If you awake to the truth, firstly, you will marvel and say, What is man that you have crowned him with such majesty? Then you will reign over all. The wise virgins are classified wise, not because of good religious works, or moralism, or some form of human sacrifice, but because they had acquired oil in their vessels to keep their lamps burning in the day of visitation. While others, classified as fools, sit around idle, indulging in vanities, the wise virgins took time and effort to buy oil from the spiritual marketplace. There exists a marketplace where wisdom cries out to men to come and freely buy wisdom from above, from the Father of Lights. But really do men notice this call as they go about seeking the glories of this outer world? If already received from this heavenly marketplace, they will reign in true life. As we read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, from verse 1 to 3, Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. You come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. In your prayer and meditation, when knocking on heaven's door, what do you ask for? What do you seek for? Like the wise virgins, do not go the way of the multitudes that love their sleep in an illusionary material world and would have none of the illumination of the Spirit to see and lay hold on true invisible substance. Ask for the anointing from the Father who freely gives to all without partiality and without measure. Seek the oil from above that will enlighten your candle with the light of life and cause you to consequently inherit true eternal substance. As we read from the book of James, chapter 1, from verse 5 to 6, and it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." The oil, a symbol of spiritual wisdom and illumination by the Spirit of God within, causes man to see truth and once more get himself acquainted with his true, boundless, invisible self, and consequently escape the corruption in this world. The illumination of the candle of the Lord within unveils that incorporeal, immortal one within, along with the vast, unlimited spiritual riches and glory at his disposal. The anointing within unveils the glory and the image of God that you are. It will undo the innumerable lies and human concepts that bind man to the beggarly elements governed by time and space. We can describe this illumination as self-enlightenment, without which man, at his very best, can only be considered miserable, blind, and naked, a reference to the impoverished fallen state with which he makes his bed in hell. The five foolish virgins, though truly undefiled, worthy of the bridegroom, never got to know their true virginity and immaculateness due to ignorance embedded in them. Without self-illumination, how can they get to see their stainless glittering garments, a state synonymous with true innocence, holiness, and perfection before God? Without holiness, how can a man possibly see God? How can he possibly stand in the holiest place? Like the proverbial five foolish virgins, many these days stand outside the door of the bridal chamber, petitioning day and night, only to hear these words again and again. "Verily, I say unto you, I know you not." As they grope and stagger in outer darkness, they fail to see themselves the way they are known of God. Rather than allow the inner anointing unveil their true glorious self in the image of Him that created them. In their human ignorance, they formulate all forms of religious devices, thinking they can be justified by them. They heap up loads of religious burdens, thinking that the door will be opened unto them, only to hear the same words, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." Make no mistake, God sees and knows the one man from the beginning. This is the only way and door into glory. The terrestrial human nature that man puts on in his transgression is only a projection of his own false imagination, which, like chaff, must be blown away into nothingness by the wind of truth. God is not aware of you as a human or mortal. If he does, it will mean that he acknowledges the lie. Along with his self-illumination from the anointing within comes entrance through the door of the bridal chamber into the union with the bridegroom. This door is none other than the knowledge of the incorruptible, immortal, and invisible self, who has no beginning and no ending. This self is the beginning of the creation of God, the true witness, the bright and morning star, the Almighty. The recognition of true self hidden underneath the human mask is the door into the day of the Lord. I am the door, the way, the truth and life. No one ascends into omnipotence but by me. The awoken virgins, with their lanterns burning with revelation truth, do enter into the bridal chamber to be united with the King, the Christ. The bride is the bridegroom's, and the bridegroom the bride's. They are one and inseparable for all eternity. Isn't it written that the two shall be one? Is it not written also that what God has joined together, let no man put asunder? This means, let no human reasoning, flesh and blood, manifesting itself as the cunningly devised fables of religion, separate you from the reality of your oneness with the Christ, the manifestation of God upon the earth. Absent from this reality is death, its hell, and its tribulation, and we know that he was manifested in time and space to destroy death. He does this by destroying an imaginary veil of separation between man and God. Unknowingly to the men of this age, this destruction of the veil is played out repeatedly in earthly weddings, as the hands of the bridegroom reaches forth to remove the veil over the face of his bride and kiss her in a gesture that suggests they are uniting in one. Henceforth, they are no longer two, but one. Truly, the invisible secrets of God are clearly seen in the things that manifest in the physical realm. His glory and knowledge fills the earth as the water covers the ocean. While men continue on his earthly journey, the living Spirit of God always seeks to remind and bring man into the awareness of his divine oneness with the Godhead. Those human ideas and high religious concepts that deny this unbreakable union between man and God emanate from the natural human mind, which remains ever absent from the secrets of divinity. These thoughts that emanate from the carnal minds of men are the deep things of Satan that litter this world, darkening the understanding of men, thus making them ignorant of the truth that they are knitted in one with the very glory of God. In man's darkest hour, he stands without the bridal chamber, unable to find a door because of ignorance of his true righteous virgin state in the very image and likeness of God. He fails to see himself as truly virgin, clothed in stainless apparel, eternally espoused to the King of Glory. To attain the original creation of God beyond the door, otherwise known as the new heavens and the new earth, which Jesus, by his appearing, reintroduced to fallen man, he must awaken and submit himself once more to the true marriage model from the beginning. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. These we read in the book of Mark, chapter 10, from verse 5 to 9. This is the very message of marriage and oneness that was passed through the law and the prophets in early grace. But the hardened and unbelieving human mind cannot in any way perceive this secret truth. What Moses heard upon Mount Sinai was actually meant to testify of the beginning of the creation of God, when the two, man and God, are one. meaning a kingdom where God is all in all. The Ten Commandments were meant to reveal one body, one spirit, one Lord, and one Father who is above all, through all, and in you all. If this revelation sinks in you, you have found a door back into the blessing. The natural human intellect is, however, unable to receive this truth and thus receives the lie in the form of 10 fragmented bits. Moses symbolically put a veil over his face to demonstrate how the insensitive human mind received the lie and not the truth. Jesus would affirm this again when he declares that all the law and prophets were saying this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love this one with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And secondly, love your neighbor as yourself. Why say, hear, O Israel? Because without true spiritual perception, those words will not give you life. People have tried over the ages in vain to obey the commandments through their natural intellect without ever getting to know the mystery of marriage. When the lamps are burning with true celestial knowledge, it brings about the awareness, true awareness of course, and spontaneously man discovers that he is one spirit of God. This is marriage. He will know that his true self is in the Lord, and he will love himself with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, and with all his strength. He will also see clearly that his neighbor is the same as himself, the Lord, because besides him there is none else. It's a marriage with the Lord that has been from eternity and has been restored today by grace. We are all married to the Lord and his invisible kingdom, and we are married to each other. We all form that one that sits above all. In this marriage, we inherit one name, one head, one life, one glory. We are the Lord's and he is ours. The bridegroom comes. He comes in you as you unite consciously to this great mystery of oneness. You first of all hear the cry with the good news, and then awake out of your human sense of life into a new consciousness of the Lord. The invisible Lord of glory is clearly manifest and seen in you. This is the mystery of godliness. If you have ears, know for sure that now is the time. Hear the cry of the bridegroom. Awake to oneness. Awake in him. Enter through the door to be consciously united with the Lord, into the invisible, into the eternity. God bless you.